So, the question, talking about repetition in that particular way, who did God establish his covenant with Abraham with? Whom?
Abraham and his seed.
Yes, Abraham and his seed. And when we say Abraham and his seed, what do we mean?
We mean Christ's seed.
The saved through him.
Those saved through him. Only?
The elect.
Or his seed? Just the elect? Who do we mean?
Yes.
Okay. So if we say Christ, who is the, we say the big S, and his seed mystically considered, right? We know that God made his covenant in that particular way. He not only established his covenant with Abraham, but also with his seed after him in their generations. So Abraham and his seed are constituted as one joint party in covenant with God. So we say God covenanted with Abraham and his seed. And God established that covenant of faith not only with Abraham, but specifically with his seed, is evidenced by a number of different ideas. By promises, so we know by promise, based on what God specifically said about the seed, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. See, people didn't get hung up on the forever part. Well, they were only there for a little while. Well, they lived and they died. That's because they were what are they misunderstanding when we talk about that?
Types and shadows.
In blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed to the stars of the heaven, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. True or false?
True.
It's a little s. I will multiply thy seed, and in thy little s seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. True or false? Little seed? Yes and no? Yes? No?
Little seed.
Okay, so.
But also.
Yes. See, this is the thing. If you have Abraham and he has little seed, right? We can do this for a little while. And he has little seed. And he has little seed, ultimately to the Lord Jesus, right? So yes and yes. Okay. Paul says, not to Abraham and his little seed were the promises made. Galatians 3:16. Mary, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Luke 1:55. Then there's expressed mention of Abraham and his seed, specifically in his seed, in renewing the covenant. What do we do every week? Every week, we do this. Covenant renewal. Why do we do that? Why do we think about, case in point, the Lord's Supper? Pause. A lot of places do that once a quarter, twice a year, whenever. Covenant renewal. Why do we do that?
Because we break it.
We do. What else?
And we can remember what he's done.
Yes. There's always
faith.
All of that. Because there's both sides to the issue. Because it's not only just a negative thing. Oh, we're terrible people and we break the covenant all the time, so we have to renew it. But there's also the positive of what it is that the seed has done and how we are in the covenant with Father Abraham. We'll get there some more, but is it not important that Paul doesn't say, he does in different places, but he doesn't say, hey, your father David, hey, your father Solomon, hey, your father the prophets. He doesn't do that. Why does he do this to Abraham, your father? Do you have faith like Abraham? Are you walking like Abraham? Express mention, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Unto thy seed have I given this land. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Why? To be a... Right? So, we could say God to them. Yes? Is he a liar?
No.
No? Are you sure?
Yeah.
What would Abraham have thought when God said that to him? Would he have thought this? All my children are saved.
No. Well, yes.
Yes.
Would he have thought that?
That was his issue was with Ishmael.
We'll get to Ishmael. Would he have thought that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he said it.
Because God said that this would be the case. Now, we'll get into Ishmael and how that, tweaks out. Hold that thought. By the seal of circumcision imposed on Abraham and his seed, we find that. So circumcision, these three. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. You shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. True? Shall be a sign of it? What Abraham's seed is? Three ways. There's three ways. First, natural. He has kids. He has lots of seed. Those descending from Abraham's flesh, not necessarily descending from his faith, Ishmael and the carnal Israelites. Then there's, we'll just pick this one and say, spiritual. Those imitating Abraham's faith without fleshly descent. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. They are reckoned his seed by spiritual generation, imitation, and succession, and blessing and inheritance. Paul said, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we could kind of go like this and say, all those of like faith as Abraham. The promise was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Romans 4:13. And then... Right, here's one, here's two. Then we have both natural and spiritual together. Believing Jews and supremely Christ the seed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed which is in Christ. Galatians 3:16. So Christ, conceived by the spirit of a virgin in Abraham's line, is the extraordinary seed and the crown of all the promises. With which seed did God covenant with Abraham and his seed? This one, or this one? Not merely with the natural. Ishmael was excluded. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. Galatians 4:30. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Romans 9:6-8. But if Abraham's carnal seed merely were not the covenant seed, if with them God established or didn't establish his covenant at all, but only with Isaac and his line, how is it that Ishmael, the son of Abraham, by the bondwoman who was born after the flesh, was circumcised, and that by God's appointment?
Because he's supposed to circumcise all of them.
Supposed to. But what is it a sign of?
Seal of faith.
Circumcision.
Covenant sign.
It's a covenant sign. What does it particularly?
They're in the church.
That's true. Regeneration.
Oh.
You take off the foreskin of your fleshly carnalness. God tells Abraham to circumcise Ishmael. What about Ishmael? What do we do with him? Right? Could he partake of circumcision, the token of the covenant, and yet not have God's covenant established with him?
Yes, obviously.
Yes. Yes. Yes, poor Ishmael. Now, poor Ishmael. How many people do you have in the Bible that God specifically told someone, something, about something like that, and told them to place it on him?
He's the only one.
He's it. What a absolutely terrible thing. We'll talk a little bit about it. Some distinguish between being in covenant outwardly in administration only and being in covenant inwardly in efficacy and saving power. Ishmael was admitted outwardly, not inwardly. Some say Ishmael had temporal benefits, but not spiritual benefits. Yet even temporally, he didn't receive Canaan. Right? He didn't get that. The soundest point is that God settled his covenant on Isaac and his posterity, from whom Christ the promised seed should come. Yet Ishmael and others joined to Abraham's house were admitted outwardly under covenant until by unbelief they cut themselves off. Basically, what they do is they excommunicate themselves. So, God says, I will be a God to you and your seed. They're 2 months old. What does Abraham think? That they're saved. Until they show otherwise. Right? That does not make the covenant not work. Ishmael and all males born in Abraham's house, servants bought with money, and Esau as well, were circumcised and reckoned as Abraham's seed federally until their apostasy. They discovenanted themselves. And then their seed also ceased to be covenant seed, even outwardly. Scripture affirms, God immediately fixed his covenant on Isaac, the son of the free woman, child of promise, though God's promised Ishmael temporary blessings, didn't he? Oh, I'll make him a great nation. I'll make him kings. Kings will come from him, all of these things. Now, we can get into talking about how election and reprobation works. We're not going to do that now, but just in thinking about that, you have two sides of thinking about how to think about Ishmael, because he was under and in and with all kinds of benefits, and yet he was lost. He excommunicated himself, he discovenanted himself, he showed himself not to be so. We know by election he was not elected in that particular way, so he was not given the regeneration that circumcision is supposed to portray. So you see after the fact what actually occurs that way. But as we talk about election, even in reprobation and what God is doing and God's intention and will and all of that, maybe we can talk about it later, another time. God never desires anything that he has no intentions of ever bringing to pass. So he's never wringing his hands. He's not hoping for something to occur. He's the one that guides all of those things. He's not the eternally happy and eternally frustrated God at the same time. He's not that. So he's not like, oh no, what am I going to do with Ishmael? He's already set that. However, at the same time, Edwards, for example, and I like using Edwards because he's really thorough in it. He basically places two aspects, that because there's two lines, because the covenant and there's the seed of the woman and seed of the serpent, what is God doing with those lines? He's always preparing. So he's preparing these guys, the Isaacs, for glory, and he's also preparing these guys for the pit at the same time. So nothing's catching them off guard. He told him to do this. Why did he tell him to circumcise? Wouldn't it be worse if Ishmael got circumcised? And that, this is the, that's the idea. It is worse. It is terrible. Apples in and of themselves are not evil. Depends on what's happening with those apples and whose hands they are and what they think about it. In the hands of Ishmael, apples will prepare him more for the pit. In Isaac's hand, those are going to prepare him more for heaven. In Isaac, God establishes covenant with all his ordinary natural seed, the nation of the Jews. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. There's that word again. And with his seed after him, Genesis 17:19. The whole Jewish nation, Isaac's natural descendants, were counted God's covenant people until Christ came. They enjoyed outward covenant standing, ordinances, and Canaan, picture of the idea of heaven for them, though many remained carnal. Believing Jews, both natural and spiritual seed, had inward efficacy also. So Christ acknowledged the Jews as Abraham's seed outwardly, John 8:37. And Peter told them, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Acts 3:25. What does he say after that? To summarize, he's like, act like it. That's basically what he's telling them. He says, this is the covenant. You're in the covenant. You're in the zone of the covenant. You have to act like it. God establishes covenant with Abraham's extraordinary seed, Jesus, not to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, and to thy seed, which is Christ, Galatians 3:17. And the covenant with Abraham is said to be confirmed of God in Christ. Christ is the seed to whom the promise was made. And so God's covenant extended also to Abraham's spiritual seed, the believing Gentiles. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, Galatians 3:8. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, Galatians 3:9. Christ has redeemed us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Why? Because the promise that God made to Abraham and his seed culminates in the seed, mystically considered with all of his people, which includes us believing, even though we're Gentiles. It's okay. You're a Gentile. That's not a bad thing.
So wasn't he.
Which is part of the point. And so God, he kind of shifts Abraham a bit. Abraham the Hebrew, and then the Jews from that, and so on and so forth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob having his name changed and such. Ultimately, all of that comes to pass. But that line of thinking, God promises to be a God to Abraham and his seed, ultimately in Christ, mystically considered, all of them together, which includes us, which is why Paul talks about throughout Romans, and he uses Abraham on purpose, and he uses Isaac, Jacob, and Esau on purpose, and then talks about the covenant stump that we are grafted into, which is Abraham's covenant. Everybody gets that wrong too. They like think it's something else. Abraham is the stump in which we are grafted in. We must have like faith as Abraham did, so that we walk in the same way he did. This guy, he's basically perfect, wasn't he? Especially when he like lied to Pharaoh a couple of times, or taught his sons to do that, right? So he's not perfect. Neither are we.
His seed is, though.
Ultimately, that is, which is why he winds up being the umbrella, right? The umbrella over us. Using the illustration of, you know, the father sitting on a cloud looking down while it's raining. And everybody who has the faith of Abraham or that covering of Christ is holding the umbrella. So when he's sitting on the cloud and he looks out, what does he see? didn't see anybody. He just sees all the umbrellas. He just sees Christ. He doesn't see us. It would be a bad thing because to see us in that we are not perfect. And everything that we do, yes, everything that we do is tainted and all of that. But at the same time, everything that we do is accepted because of the umbrella or the covering that we have with them. We'll pause there.